I'm pulling my driveway.
We all know what that means.
It's time for the drive to work. Okay, so today I'm talking all about monocolor design. Okay, but before I can get into all the elements of design, I first have to explain a basic principle of the game. Okay, so when Richard Garfield first made Magic, he had to solve a basic problem of trading card games, what he referred to as the Queen's problem. The idea is, I am playing a game of chess, and if I'm allowed to choose all my pieces, why don't I choose 15 queens and a king? The one king is because it's the win condition. Why wouldn't I choose all queens, other than the king? Why wouldn't I choose all queens? Why play a pawn or a rook or a knight? Why not just play, you know, why not just play a queen? All queens. It's the most powerful piece. And the answer was, he needed to find ways in a trading card game that encourage you to want to play different things. So he ended up coming with two different forces that in different ways encouraged you to play more cards. One was the mana system, meaning that there's a curve that you develop your mana as the game progresses. So what that meant is in the first turn of the game, a one drop is very powerful, where a six drop is useless to you. But late in the game, a six drop is very powerful, and a one drop is not nearly as useful to you. That the idea that the mana evolved over time really made different cards have different values at different points in the game. The second thing that Richard did is he made the color pie. Rather than having one series of cards, he made five different colors of cards, and each color has its own strengths and weaknesses. There are things that white can do that blue can't, or that blue can do that black can't. And the color pie really said, hey, one of the reasons that I'm not always playing the same things is I have to make choices. I have to pick colors. Now, in order to make that work, the mana system really pushes against, like, essentially there's a tension that Richard designed. It's the mana system versus the color pie. The mana system rewards you for playing as few colors as possible. In general, one of the challenges when you're playing, you have a randomized deck, you draw, you don't know the order you're getting things. And the fact that there's a resource that progresses your game, you know, land and mana. So one of the things that can happen is, whenever you have cards in your hand that you can't play, they're dead cards, right? I have a card that I can't play. And when you're playing a game of Magic, what can happen is, early in the game, your dead cards are just cards you don't have enough mana to play. And as the game progresses, you can, what we call land screwed, which is I just don't draw enough land. And if that happens, I can't play my more expensive spells, I just don't have the land to play them. But there's another problem you can run into, which is color screw. The idea of color screw is, I have enough land, but I don't have enough of what I need to cast the spells I want. Often, when you're color screwed, I'm playing a two-color deck, and I only draw my first color, I don't draw my second color. So every card in my hand of that second color is a dead card. So the mana system says the less colors you play, the more consistent your draw. And one of the big draws of monocolor play is that consistency. But the strength of the color pie is the more colors you play, the more abilities you get access to, and the more cards you get access to. So the idea is, the less colors I play, the more accurate my mana is, the easier my mana is for me. The more colors I play, the access to more things I got, but the mana system starts causing you trouble. And that is a really robust system. It creates a lot of fun tension. But when we're talking about monocolor design, we very much have to think about the mana system. Because the reason to play monocolor design is the reasons the mana system kind of gives you to play monocolor design. So the first part about that, the first really big step has to do with colored mana. So when you're costing a card, you have the option of how much colored mana you put on the card. The more colored mana you put on the card, the more you're punished for the easier it is to get color screwed, right? If I only have only one color, okay, I need to draw that card. I can't get color screwed if I don't draw any of that card. But if I have one mana of that color, you know, one mana color pip, I don't need a lot to play it. I just need to have some access to the color. But if you start adding 2, 3, 4 more color pips, it becomes harder and harder to play. So that is the first tool. When we're talking about designing for monocolor, the first big thing is understanding the power of color pips. Now, one of the things we've learned in general, the way to think of it as a general sense is common and uncommon are more geared for limited, and rare and mythic rare are more geared for constructed. It's not that you can't have constructed cards in common or uncommon, but you really have to think about choices. And so when it comes to mana, one of the things in general is, and when we talk about monocolor design, there's two different parts to talk about. One is constructed and one is limited. I'm going to start talking about constructed. Constructed is the easier of the two to design for. I will get to limited. Limited is actually a lot harder to design for. So that's why I'm going to start with constructed. So in constructed, number one tool I have to design for monocolored really comes down to the mana. And the easiest way to think of it is I'm going to divide into different colors, into different mana values. So at one mana value, all you can do is have one color pip, whatever. One is one. For 2 and 3, adding a second colored mana in causes all sorts of challenges in limited. But in constructed, really, if you're playing a 2-drop or a 3-drop that has 2-color pips in it, you either want to be playing a monocolor deck or what we call a splash. Mostly it's one color and I'm just splashing a second color, maybe splashing 2 colors. Although, the more colors you splash, the harder it is to play heavy mana things. So if we want to take something and gear it for constructed, the very first tool, the biggest tool we have, is how many colored mana pips we put in something. So if something costs 2 or 3 and we put 2-color mana pips in it, odds are we are more pushing that card for constructed. We're more thinking about constructed. For limited, you can do multiple colors, but usually not at 2 or 3. That if you see a 2-drop, you know, I'll just use white for my example. If you see white on a 2-drop, usually that's not geared for limited. That is geared for constructed. And the interesting thing about that is that white in a dedicated mono white deck is very easy to play. You need 2 mana. But in a multicolor deck, let's say a 2-color deck, you know, half the time you're going to get color screwed and not be able to play that on turn 2. So when 2 and 3 mana, we put double. As you start getting into 4+, it's a little bit easier to get 2. And really, if we want to start doing 3, we start thinking about 5 and 6. But the idea essentially is the more colored mana we do and the lower it is in the mana value, the harder it is to play. So let's run through a little bit of why would you play monocolor? There's a lot of reasons not to play monocolor. You don't have access to other things. But let's walk into why you would. Number one is consistency of mana. That you don't want to miss your... Like, you want to make sure that you're able to play all your cards. And this ties a lot into the ability to tap into more colored pips. That if you want to play a 2-drop on turn 2... that's white. Well, if you're not playing mono white, it's hard to be consistent there. So when we talk about consistency, the kind of deck you want to be the most consistent on is aggression, right? If I'm playing a deck that's all about beating you quickly, I can't hiccup. I can't stumble. And a lot of the reasons you're going to play white in a deck is I get more. The reason that we put extra mana pips is it's harder to play extra mana pips. So we are allowed to put extra value there. You know, white gets more than 1 and a white. Because 1 and a white is a lot easier to play. So white just we're allowed to make the card more powerful because it's harder to play. That white, much like we can give you more power in 2 and a white versus 1 and a white, we can give you more power in white. And the more concentrated we are, the more we can do. So the reason you want to play monocolor, the number one reason, is consistency. And the most likely reason you want consistency is aggression. That I want to hit you fast, my early turns matter, I don't have the ability to miss. That having a stumble early on will cost me the game. And that in aggression, that means the most. If I'm trying to beat you before you get going, every turn that I delay is crucial. It's a huge problem for me. So I can't. I can't be missing turns. The nice thing about monocolor is you don't miss turns. I mean, you can get land screwed, but you don't get color screwed. Okay, the second reason you'll like care about consistency is you are playing cards that are at the rate where the expected value isn't, you won't hit them in time. Once again, that might be a two or a three drop that has two white in it. Or a four and above drop that has usually three or more. Even a four drop with two, you can miss that some portion of the time. Like if you want to consistently hit the two white card, being in mono white or heavy white will help you. And once you start getting three colored mana or four colored mana, unless it's a very expensive card, I mean, six white maybe, but unless it is something that, like, essentially the way to think of it is, imagine you usually keep your hand because you have two or three mana. So you're going to get your first one or two usually, and odds are you'll get your third mana close to your third turn, just because either you keep a hand with three, or I have a bunch of turns to draw one mana before I get there. So one and two, usually you'll drop on one and two. Three will be turn three, maybe turn four. But then it starts stretching out how often you hit your mana, meaning that you often don't hit five on turn five or six on turn six. It stretches out a bit. And if you're playing equally in two colors, let's assume you're gonna draw those at 50% rate. Like, the idea of you really, really can miss cards that have a lot of colored mana. So the other reason that consistency matters is there are cards that are vital to what I want to do that we have priced with lots of colored mana in them. And you're like, okay, the cost of playing these cards is playing heavier of that color. Another reason you might play monocolor in Constructed is that you need a strength of a theme, and that theme is located in the color. There's two ways that plays out. One is certain abilities only exist in certain colors or are concentrated in those colors. For example, if I want to play a discard deck, I want to make you discard a lot of cards. Well, black really is the color that does discard, so I kind of probably going to be in mono black. If I want to just counterspell everything you do, counterspells are in blue. Now, interesting, both of those decks, it's not fun to have a deck full of discard, a deck full of counterspell, so we've been pushing against those a little bit in card power. But there are strategies where I just want to do the strategy and it's there. The most common reason is you're playing a typal deck and that a certain creature type is more located in a certain color. Now, the idea of aggression and typal often go hand in hand. For example, I'm playing a merfolk deck. I kind of want to be aggressive with my merfolk deck, and, well, most merfolk and most merfolk buffers show up in blue. So if I'm playing a merfolk deck, especially if I'm trying to play a faster merfolk deck, I'm probably in mono blue. So typal is another big reason that people go to monocolor. They want the consistency. Often that leads toward aggression, but not always. You can play non-aggression typal. If the type really exists heavily in that color, sometimes that's why you'll focus. The last thing of why in Constructed you will play a monocolor deck, I like to call it being bribed. But what I really mean is there are strong individual cards that really pay you off for being heavy in the color, if not completely in the color. So let me walk through how we do that. So first is what we call scaling cards. Sometimes they're called count me's. And what that means is I care either about white. I'm just using white as my example. I care about white permanents, white creatures. I care about white things. Or maybe I care about planes, because there's a one-to-one correlation between white and planes. The idea of a scaling or a count me is I care about how many white things of either, it could be white permanents, it could be white creatures, maybe it's white enchantments in the right deck, or it could be number of planes. But it just means I get more powerful the more I have of something. And in Constructed, the difference between Constructed and Limited is, Constructed is you optimize every card. In Limited, you play cards that might not be optimized, but it's what you got and it's the best you can do. Like, a lot of Limited play is making do with what you have. But in Constructed, if I can't optimize a card, I don't play the card. So if I have a count me that says, okay, I'm at my most powerful for you having a lot of white things, well, you kind of want to play in a deck that has all white things. Or if I'm counting the number of planes I have, kind of want to be in a deck where all my you know, lands are planes. That if you're trying to optimize in Constructed, which is what you tend to do, a count me card pushes you in that direction. It says, okay, well, I'm stronger the more I have. That's all I'm going to play. Another version we could do that is Triggered. The most common thing will be whenever I cast a white creature, or whenever a white creature enters the battlefield. The idea of a Triggered spell is, it's not that I want a lot at once. It's that every time it happens, I get an effect. So once again, I'm encouraged to play a lot of it. Okay, well, every time I play a white spell, I gain one life. Okay, I kind of want to play a lot of white spells. Triggered aren't as... The scaling count me's push you a little bit more. The Triggered stuff, I mean, once again, you want to trigger as much as possible, so the more you have that color, the better. But triggering will work a little bit better. Like, you might actually play a Triggered deck in a deck in which you're not all that color, depending on what the trigger is. Next is a buff. What a buff says is, I reward you having them. All white creatures get +1/+1. The difference between scaling and a buff is, scaling says, I, the card you're playing, am better, am stronger because of the nature of the other things. A buff says, I make all those things of that color more powerful. I grant them ability. I do something that makes them better. Scaling and buff are just two sides of the same coin. Scaling basically says, I want a lot of things, so I'm really strong. And buff says, I want a lot of things, so they're all stronger. The final category here is, we also can make reference to a color or a card type. Meaning, if I tutor for a white card, or, I can enchant a white card. There are cards that sort of say, hey, I reference this color, and the reason to have more of them is just you increase your choices and options. It's not that I'm counting everything. It's not that I'm buffing everything. I'm only counting or buffing one thing. But the more you have, the more powerful this is. One of the more powerful things, the thing about tutoring, which is interesting specifically, is that if I tutor, I don't necessarily need a lot in my deck because I know I'm getting the specific thing. The thing we've started doing more of is what we call impulsing, which is look at the top N cards of your library. If you find something of this subset, reveal it to your opponent. You get to put it in your hand, put the rest on the bottom. So the idea there is, I'm searching for a white creature or a white spell or a white, I'm searching for something that's white. And the nice thing about impulse is, because I don't guarantee what I get, A, it's more random, which makes more variance, which is more fun gameplay. But also, I want to be playing more of that thing. What I don't want to do when I impulse is miss. I don't want to, look at the top five cards, take a white creature. Oh, I didn't hit a white creature. Now, if I'm playing mono white, the chance of me hitting the white thing goes way up because my options, I could hit five planes in a row or something, but the odds of that happening are very low. And so the cards that reference by color do encourage you, especially things like impulse that sort of reward you for having high density. Okay, so those are the many ways in Constructed. Oh, the one other thing I should talk about in Constructed is Commander. Okay, so in Commander, it's very straightforward. We want you to play a monocolor. Well, we make monocolor legendary creatures that we think are good commanders. The trick of monocolor commanders is they come at a huge cost. And that cost is, Commander is all about, you have a 100-card singleton deck, you have access to all of Magic, or most of Magic. Well, you want to make sure that you can fill out your deck. So if we're going to make a mono-colored thing, we are heavily cutting down how many cards you have access to. Because all of a sudden, you can only play cards only of that color. No multicolor cards, only monocolor cards of that color, and colorless. So in order to do that, we really have to reward you. A, we have to play into a theme that is strong in that color, that you can build a deck with it. And B, the average power level in general, to be a commander, has to be, like, there's a lot you're giving up. So it really has to reward you pretty strongly. And even then, monocolored commanders make up a tiny portion of play. Most people who are playing commanders want access to more colors, and they play multicolored commanders. Okay, now that gets to limited. So limited is a challenge, but in order to understand limited, I got to talk math. For those that don't know, there's a lot of math in game design, especially in Magic. And so I'm going to talk about playing a default deck. For purposes of making things clear to understand, I'm not going to talk right now about often in we have five colors, but often we have some colorless cards, including lands, artifacts. I'm going to exclude those for a second. I'm going to talk about as fans, just about color, not about colorless yet. We'll get to colorless in a second. But so let's say I'm playing a default, and I have five colors, and let's say each color takes up one-fifth of the cards. So 20% of the cards are white, 20% black, 20% red, 20% white, blue, black, red, green. Okay, so let's say I want to play a mono-white deck. I only have access to 20% of the cards. That is not a lot of the cards. If I'm playing a two-color deck, I have access to 40% of the cards. That is literally twice as many cards. And if we're talking about something like limited, it is almost impossible. It is very, very hard sealed. In sealed, it's very hard to play one color. You literally just don't have the cards to do it. For example, we give you six packs in limited. There are 14 cards per pack, and one of those is a land, so 13 non-land cards per pack. So 13 times 6 is 78. When you divide 78 by 5, I didn't do this ahead of time, but 80 divided by 5, 80 divided by, I do math in my head, 130, 16. So you have, assuming you had 80 cards rather than 78 to make it easier, you have 16 of each color. In order in limited play, you have to play 40 cards, 17 of which are land, so 23 of which are permanent. So in sealed, you need 23 cards, and you don't even open up 23 monocolor cards. I assume you've even, you can get things that are weighted a certain direction. It's not impossible in sealed, but it's very, very hard. In draft, you get to choose what you're taking. And so you get a focus on one or two colors, sometimes more than two, but you get a focus. So the ability of getting enough to play with is a lot easier in draft. So draft, it's a lot easier. I mean, not super easy. The danger in draft of playing one color is not that you can't get access to it, but if the person to your right who is feeding you for packs one and packs three are in that color, they really could cut you off of that color. And so you might not be able to get enough cards or enough cards of the quality that you need. Being in multiple colors allows you some flexibility if things don't go your way. Okay, now there are some tools we can use to get up your as fan. Tool number one is hybrid mana. Hybrid counts as a monocolor of either color. So let's take Shadowmoor, which is the most hybrid we've ever done. Basically, it was half hybrid, half not. So, and it was ally for Shadowmoor. So let's assume we're playing that. That means I have 10% white, blue, black, red, green, and 10% white, blue, each of the five hybrid things. So if I'm playing mono white, I have access to mono white, I have access to white, blue, I have access to green, white. And all of those are playable in a mono white deck. So now I have access to 30%. Okay, I got 10% more. That is enough, for example, in Seal to be able to play play one color. That doesn't mean you want to or have to, and there's still things you give up when you do that, but at least you're able to. The other big tool we have is colorless mana. If you take something like Mirrodin, which was our first set, Mirrodin had half colorless cards in it. So in Mirrodin, you had 10% of each mono color and 50% colorless. That meant that a mono white deck had access to 60% of the cards. In fact, Mirrodin was famous for being able to splash multiple colors because you had so much heavy. But here's the problem. Shadowmoor was too much hybrid. We consider Mirrodin too much colorless. That you know, having lots of colors cause endless problems. So a lot of the tools we have to help make it easier to play monocolor in limited are hard to do. You know, that the they're not things we want to do in large volume. But it is what we get. I mean, for example, we do make sets that have a theme of monocolor. I will use Throne of Eldraine as an example, right? So we wanted you to... The courts were tied to the colors. And we even made a mechanic that the more you played of the color... Like, you could play the card normally, but if you played all of the color, then the card got more powerful. So let's talk a little bit through the tools we have in Limited. So number one is... We do have color pips, but we're more restrained on the color pips. Usually at common, we do not put multiple colors on a card till we get to 5 or 6 mana. Like, you will not see white on a card usually at common until we get to 5 or 6 mana. And the reason for that is it's just very hard in limited to play monocolor, so we don't tend to put those cards in at low mana value. Now, there are some exceptions. For example, in multicolor, the definition of multicolor is there are 2-color pips. We're careful at common what kind of things we do and what resources we have. We usually will use things like cycling or things that allow you, or, you know, one time in cons we used morph. We want to use a mechanic that helps you do something with it if you get color screwed. But as a general rule of thumb, when we're doing monocolor themes, we're careful with, like the idea is we let you opt into having more color. Maybe we give you a mechanic, you could kick it, or reward you like in Throne of Eldraine if you play more of a certain color. What we tend to do is things that are playable if you only have one mana of that color, but get better as you have more. So the idea is the card's not dead outside of a monocolor deck, but it's more powerful in a monocolor deck. The other thing we will do is we do like making individual cards that push monocolor strategies, but we don't put them at common. We tend to put them in uncommon. And the reason we put them in uncommon is draft, build around, show up in uncommon. We like the idea that you open a booster pack, you take something early, and it puts you on a path. One of those paths in limited can be monocolor play. We do like, and it depends on the environment, some things like Throne of Eldraine, it's a theme, and so we're more pushing you into it. Shadowmoor, likewise, it was a theme. Other sets, it's just, it's one of the things you could do that, like, one of the things we like is we have our base draft strategies, and then in Uncommon, we like to put extra things that aren't normally what you do, but hey, you've drafted the set a whole time, here's a new challenge. Monocolor is a fun challenge that we can give you. In draft, it's very hard and sealed. Monocolor is a fun thing we can do in draft, and so a lot of what we have to do is give you rewards to try to sort of encourage you early to think that way. And the other thing about limited that's important to understand is we tend to think of, in limited purposes, a lot of times constructed, monocolor is like you're playing nothing but one color. In limited, the idea of heavy in a color, meaning I'm mostly white, but I'm splashing blue or splashing green or red or whatever, that's a very common thing we think about in limited, is that you can be heavy in a color. That doesn't mean you're monocolor. It means you're more that color than you're the other color. And normally when you're heavy in a color, you only play cards that you can play later. That I'm splashing for powerful cards that if I don't get the colored mana I need in the first few turns, I'm okay. You don't tend to play 1 and 2 and 3 drops that require that color, unless it's not time conditioned. For example, I might splash black for a creature kill that costs 1 and a black or 2 and a black. Not because I plan to cast on a second turn, I probably won't cast. You know, it's more when I draw that later in the game. You know, yeah, I can't play that maybe to turn 3 or turn 4 or turn 5, but it's okay. A kill spell is useful to me, valuable to me late in the game. Where a 2-drop that's really about aggression, not valuable to me. So we also do play into heavy color strategies in Limited, where it's like, well, somebody could lean into this, and heavy color strategies tend to work well with cards we design for monocolor. They're not completely optimized, but again, total optimization is more of a constructed thing. Construct is about, I'm going to build my deck and I have all these choices, so I'm going to lean into the best version of what the card can be. For Limited, I'm trying to get as much value as I can. And in fact, one of the things that's really important when we make mechanics or cards that push toward heavy play is that they still have a play even without. For example, I was talking about scalings and triggers and buffs. In Limited, that can work out even in a 2-color deck. Yeah, it's more powerful in a 1-color deck, but they're still viable in a 2-color deck. If I have something that says, you know, count me. Now, we'll be much more conscious if we make cards that are thinking about Limited. We want to make sure the count me's mean something if only half your cards are count me's, or mean something if it's triggering. And so in Limited, we do design cards that we might like, that might also have a constructed vantage point, but the upper end of what the power, the lower end, like what the floor of the card is something we think more about in cards that will play in Limited, so common and uncommon. And the ceiling, so real quickly, I use these terms from time to time. Let me explain these terms. Floor and a ceiling. Floor is what is the worst the card can do. At its worst, what is the power level of the card? That's the floor. The ceiling is what is the best the card can do if the card is completely optimized. In monocolor cards, in constructed, we care about the ceiling, right? We care about, okay, if you maximize this, how powerful can it be? And we really want monocolor cards aimed at constructed to have a high ceiling. We want the cards to be something that you can have a dream, that if we want to reward you for what you're doing. You know, you're going to go through a lot of rigmarole to have only monocolor cards. You're giving up a lot. Well, we need to reward you. So in monocolor cards that are deemed a constructed, we're talking about the ceiling. We want a high ceiling. Okay, but when we're talking about monocolor cards for Limited, that's when we talk about the floor. And what that means is we want to make sure we're giving you cards that even at their worst, you still are okay playing in Limited. That even if things don't work out for you, even if you don't quite get what you get, that there's value there. So one of the things, for example, the difference between ceiling and floor. When I'm caring about floor, in constructed, I might make a spell, for example, that says count the number of things, right? Now that card is dead. If I say, here's how powerful the thing is, but I got to count the number of this thing. In constructed, if I don't have that thing, if I don't, you know, if I draw dead, as they say, even if I have the mana, I just don't have the creatures, you know. Okay, I draw cards equal to the number of blue creatures I have. If I don't have blue creatures, that card is dead in my hand. Even if I have blue mana, the card is dead. And once again, that's a great example of high ceiling, low floor. Because if I don't have blue things, the card doesn't even do anything. That's fine for constructed, because, hey, high ceiling. But in limited, we don't want the floor so low. So, for example, when we're doing count me's in limited, at common especially, sometimes uncommon, we'll put it on a permanent, usually a creature. Usually, the thing you're counting, we put it on. So, if I'm counting the number of creatures that are white, and it's a white creature, I know my minimum is one. Right? And we also can pick effects where just having the minimum means something. A classic example of that is like impulse and draw a card. Well, the floor of impulse and draw a card is draw a card. Because even if I only look at one card and take it, I'm drawing a card. Now, yeah, if I look at two cards, I have a choice in my cards, but the floor of that effect is very good. What happens as you get more, I have more flexibility in what I draw, it's stronger, but the base level, the floor of the ability is really strong. And so that's a lot to do when we're designing for monocolor between constructed and limited. That concept's really important. The concept that, what do I care about? Do I care about the floor of the effect or the ceiling of the effect? And that has a lot to do with where I'm aiming the card at. Okay, guys. that, my friends, is monocolor design. Like I said, there's a lot that goes into it. It's very important. You know, it is definitely easier to do constructed. Constructed is more about making individual cards that make you want to do it. Where limited is about making an entire environment where it's viable. And making an entire environment is a lot harder than just making individual cards. That's why constructed is much easier than limited. But we do like monocolor play. There's a lot of fun there. It adds some variance. You know, it is something we like the game to have. But hopefully, as you can see today, it just comes with a lot of challenges. It comes with a lot of things you have to think about. Anyway, guys, I hope you enjoyed that. But I'm now at work. So we all know that means it's the end of my drive to work. So instead of talking magic, it's time for me to be making magic. I'll see you guys next time. Bye-bye.